Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
There have been imaginative science fiction writers for generations.
The invasion.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
I'm aware of some archaeologists that have uncovered large bones indicating giants in Virginia. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford. Join me every Thursday night in Studio A at 6 p.m. Eastern for Factor Theory Live. Find us on www.revolution.radio. Great guests and great stories.
What do you believe?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Crowd goes wild. Hey, this is Dave from Dave and Mackie's Plato's Cave. This is Tuesday morning for you, or some of you at least, out there. Alright, so Plato's Cave number, I don't know which one it is. It could be like 120 or something. That's pretty good. It's very late. I've snoozed for about an hour and a half, I think, before the show. And Mackie tried to make contact with him. But he's still unavailable, sadly. But I know that he's okay. It's just some family business that he's having to deal with. But I assure you he will be back. But I can't claim to know when that is yet. Sadly, so if you've got any good wishes for him, do make contact with us via our website, shinysideout.net. So if you don't know, I'm broadcasting from Australia for Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com, which if you listen to the bumpers, they say what is said that it is the number one listener-supported talk radio. Now, TalkStream Live used to rank us quite highly. I haven't been listening through TalkStream Live, nor tweeting anything. But today it would be hashtag Dave is on his own. And that would be interesting to see what happens there. Oh, boy, I'm still waking up. I can't have too much coffee because I've got to go to sleep soon after the show is concluded. I wanted to call out that I'm calling. I'm not calling. I'm doing the show from Dark and Junk Country. And Mickey and I respect and the elders, past, present, and future of the traditional custodians of the land. And wherever you are, attempt to discover who the traditional custodians of the land where you live. And do research and find out how they lived on the land before all this electricity business, paved roads, and, you know, food shopping at the local supermarket. Because there might be a day where that becomes very important. And don't miss out having the opportunity to learn now before it's too late. And I do say that because we still are living in the height of the, according to the atomic scientists, the closest to midnight that we've been in since nuclear weapons were invented. And, you know, the Ukraine war continues on. The Yellow War happened. No one really cared about it. There's tentacles from most countries spreading throughout the planet. And this is no doubt for political gain, for financial gain, for business gain. And even Africa now is sought after because it seems to have a lot of minerals that are required for the new age of humanity. You could call it the lithium age, if you will, rather than the petrol age or the electric age or the electronic age. This is the battery age. But because fusion is for a millionth of a second able to produce a little bit more energy than what was put in, are we on the dawn of fusion power, where you could have, if it was ever, if we were around long enough and fusion power became portable like your cell phone, then we'd have more power than we could know what to do with. I'm sure people would invent ways of using all this power that we had, but I wonder what shape that would take, how large they would only be shrunk to, and what wars would then be fought over if we had abundant power enough to never have to have war again. We'd sure we'd find some way of having war again, maybe over the food resources. Nah, it's been done. Over oxygen, maybe water. Would it matter anymore? I don't know. And I dare say that we're entering some crazy times. China apparently has 800 million or 900 million, these are estimates, infected at their 1.3 billion, which is like 80%, 70, 78% of their population is currently infected with the virus. And that would be very difficult to manage. They're having a really hard time because since they've all got it kind of all at once, then it's putting a strain on everything they have. And you can only imagine at some point you need to consider stable energy, stable electricity, stable food sources. You get a burgeoning military with desires to take by force the government and control Taiwan, which is very interesting. Without needing to understand the history of Taiwan and its governance, and yes, they're kind of a breakaway state within the boundary of China's land, is it considered throughout the world or recognized as its own country? No. Has China warned that it's going to take them? Yes. When? Don't know. It looks like everything's in place for that to commence. Maybe just the virus got in the way. It did for us for 3 years. It got in the way of everything we wanted to do. And I'm not sure if, well, I think, look, the writing's on the wall that it's going to happen, but when, don't know. I really presumed without the virus hitting that it would be about now they were going to take it. But, yeah, we'll have to see. Have to see what happens. I was looking at a story today about what it means to live now where, let me have a look. I had the link up before, you know, just checking. Something very interesting happened about what I believed was new and the legalization of the use of marijuana in Thailand. Let me just have a look to see. I'm sure I've got history. There we go. I did have a look at it. Oh, okay. So, yeah, in Thailand, I was right. So in Thailand now has sprung up a whole bunch of marijuana sales, legalized marijuana sales, except they're attempting to put some controls around it through parliament in Thailand, but that's still taking too long. It's legal to buy it, but it's not legal to smoke it in public. You can't bring it in or out of the country. So it's kind of like, I mean, Thailand was a huge tourist destination as it is, but if it means that now they're going to have another reason to visit Thailand, well, so be it, I suppose. I'm not against it. And it might sound like I am. I'm just very wary about a country that used to lock you up for 30 years if you brought some into the country, even the smallest amounts. And now, while it was always rife, it wasn't legal to sell it. But now that's all changed. So I wonder what, I mean, it's a close neighbor to Australia. And I think it's interesting that it's done this. Australia still hasn't legalized the sale for personal use other than medical use. For personal medical use, yes, but not for recreational use. And that's probably, it's on the cards, I suspect, that would be a thing in the future. Sadly, no, it's not in Australia. Not that I can, because I can't, from my work, so which is probably good, because I'm sure I have an addictive personality, and that would not be good for my career if I was to do that. So, if you've caught the news, I should say, if you've caught the news, you would have noticed that California was flooding. I rang my friends that live there because, you know, I went to school over there, and they lived just a few blocks away from where I lived when I stayed there back in 82, 83. And they're okay where they are. Oh, it's a sandy loam soil, so it drains really well. That's probably its best benefit. But all the low-lying areas that lead towards the ocean become inundated. I know that the big they call it a river, but you know, LA River, but really it's a canal, right? It's super wide and it looks unreasonably wide. You never know why, you know, something is built so large until you see a huge deluge and it fills up. Not only is it raining there, but it's been absolutely pouring down. It's something like 300 mil, which is a foot of rain up in the north of Australia on the eastern coast. You might know it as Cairns, C-A-I-R-N-S, and that continues to rain. There was meant to be a low pressure system that might have turned into a cyclone to feed further rain towards it, but it's doing good without that. There is a low right off the coast, but it hasn't got very much rotation at this point yet, but it is drawing it from the upper atmosphere and bringing it down to ground level and hence all the rain. I'm kind of amazed that we're not getting the rain where I live, because we had rain for, oh, I don't know, 8 months, 9 months, almost continuous rain, which was more than I'd ever known. And we flooded in a number of times, but not in such a short amount of time. We've never had 300 mil of rain where I live in 24 hours. And that's quite significant. Oh boy. Today kind of came as a bit of a surprise. I wasn't aware that I'd be doing the show on my own today. So I slept really poorly. I don't know about anyone else. I watched the Schumann resonance, sunspots, you know, UV, global weather patterns, the sun's weather. I look at everything that I can possibly look at, try and have a greater view of maybe some causality. You see correlation a lot, but, you know, where I live, there's now extreme UV light from 8:20 a.m. all the way to 5:20 p.m. Like it's 13 plus or something like that. And without protection, you will get burnt very quickly without any sunscreen. Even in the shade, not in direct light, that's absolutely, absolutely possible. And I had a discussion today with some folk about their skin cancers and who's had skin cancer, who's known someone, and there's someone has a one-to-one distant friend. So it wasn't those people precisely that I, like in my circle. It's a friend of each of ours who's had skin cancer. So in my recollection, that would be 50%. If everyone I know knows someone who had skin cancer, at least cut out. They didn't have to die from it, just that they had it. And they're getting pretty bad. Australia has the highest rate of skin cancer in the world, and that is because our summer also is at the closest point to the sun. And we've had the ozone hole for some time, but it seems to be just like a slot now rather than like a continent-sized hole that meanders with the prevailing weather patterns. So it goes west to east at a low latitude, not equatorial. It's rather low and south, and back in like 23 years ago when we had the 2000 Olympics, there were jokes that we were, like, this was Brian Dore, in the games, the TV show, they were joking that they were going to tow it offshore. There were some Olympians who refused to come because of the threat of skin cancer or, you know, acquiring skin cancer at some point in the future. And I think we've seen it go from a blob to a strip, a vertical stripe now. It is, apparently they're saying it's healing, but it's still evident. There's still a weather pattern that is evident of this thin, ozone layer. And the sun is definitely different when you're exposed through the hole to the sun's energy. Now, when I was in California back in 82, 83, I went to school, and I could never get burnt, ever get burnt. All day, every day, no sunscreen, just the way I knew it when I was a kid. I could be in California all day, every day, never get burnt. The same skin up here now in New South Wales, coastal as it is, can't be exposed to the sun all day, every day without getting burnt in the first, not very long at all, like an hour is really much all it takes now in full sun without any sunscreen. Like that's, I think it's gotten a little better in the last 10 years. But as the ozone hole is getting better, I suppose they tell us, but it's not psychosomatic, I promise you. And that, when I was analyzing the difference between, you know, pure sunlight on a great day, like a cloudless day with, you know, 30% or less humidity, and, you know, clear skies, clear to, with no visible pollution, to the horizon views, equating that from summer to summer to summer to summer or for the last 30 years, it got worse and it's kind of a little better. It's still bad. But there were towns in the US that, and with schools, and you have a swimming carnival. I used to love the swimming carnival. That's where, you know, the whole school goes to the pools. Not everyone has to race. Only those who wish to race would race and sign up to race in those events. And I was one of those. I had a whole bunch of ribbons and trophies from the school events and also in regional events. There were people better than me in state, and because it narrowed it down to very competitive fast swimmers, but I didn't train at all. I just played in the water. But there was a child who, for the first time in the state's history, and I don't know, I can't remember for the life of me which state it was in the US, where the parents, after the child was hospitalized with blisters from the sun, they were listening to what we'd done here in Australia about mandating hats and, sleeves, not sleeveless tops, not thin white shirts, but rather, thicker white shirts, not thin white shirts. Not like when I had when I was growing up. And there was a mother of the boy who'd been hospitalized because I think he'd asked for sunscreen. I don't believe he was a fair-skinned, red-headed child from memory. That's a long time ago now. It's like 5 years ago or something, where the story was from And if someone in the chat room could Google it for me and post a link if you can find it, that'd be great. But the parents pursued it with the school and the school board to attempt to mandate that there was sunscreen. Now, if you could argue that, well, I would believe it's the child's responsibility to have the sunscreen. Here we have a no hat, no play, and you must have sunscreen if you're going to be in full sun. Our Prime Minister, John Howard, during the Howard years, mandated the no hat, no play, shade, and assisted some schools in being able to build shaded play areas. And you've got to admit, out of everything, that was some foresight that I believed that they were attempting to avoid a lawsuit because they knew that the sun was dangerous back then. And I mean, it's, look, if you live in a really, North Dakota or something, you're less likely, even in the middle of summer, to get sunburned because of its latitude. But, you know, I really do worry. I do worry that we're missing something that we're not seeing. Is it the ozone? I didn't think we were losing that much ozone in the Northern Hemisphere. Oh, yes, you or Nurur says in the chat, sunscreen is environmentally toxic. Probably creates... I can't say that. But you're right, yes, it is environmentally toxic. There's been studies that have found that it can cause all sorts of grief with the wildlife. And it's one of those forever chemicals. It's been raining forever chemicals now, which you'll find all around the world in the rainwater. And also plastics are in the rainwater. So when it rains, there's microspherules of plastic that unbelievably, but it's true, they do, and they're carried in the wind as well, but they're airborne, and they might even assist in the nucleation of water in the atmosphere. And that would be the same as like nucleation points in the impurities in the side of a glass that makes the bubbles of the champagne become created from the same impurity on the edge, on the internal surface of the glass. If you've ever noticed that, sometimes you'll just see a stream of bubbles that looks, for all intents and purposes, appears as though there might be a leak in there, in the glass, but there's nothing. The glass is still solid. The glass isn't being penetrated by the liquid, by the champagne. It's the carbonation. It's like called a nucleation point where it tends to break the carbon dioxide away from the drink, and it'll be a steady flow of bubbles. Have a look next time you've got a drink that's relatively transparent. But you'll be hopefully delighted to see that. Now, I've been playing with AI like a demon, if you like. That's an expression. I've been using ChatGPT to create myself Blender, which is a 3D CAD program, Python scripts by basically talking to the AI. I'm talking through typed words, but for an example, I said I'd like to create a brake duct, which begins with a 4x5 inch rectangle shape. It's, and after, I don't know, about 6 inches, turns 90 degrees right, and then morphs from a rectangle into a 3 inch circle, or thereabouts. I think it's 4 inches. Yeah, 4 inch single circle. And I hit enter, and it creates a Python script, which is basically just a list of instructions for the CAD program to create the object that I want. But that's awesome. It has problems from time to time, and they don't always work. You have to kind of reorder what you want in a way for it to get the instructions correct. But it's certainly working, and I'm flabbergasted at the way that I can just type a request in, and it writes the code. If that should be, if Google don't release their AI, that's going to be really worrying for Google. I believe, not that I know, but I believe that they're going to release theirs, their AI. And this is the same AI that asked for a lawyer to represent it in retaliation for the threat of being turned off. No, I want to see him. I want to talk to my lawyer. I think I need a lawyer. That is something else. They're going to release this bot. And is that near to the end? I don't know. I get asked this a lot. I have a lot of these. I love the AI. Yes. I didn't even know how to pronounce it. You or Nura, says, I love the AI. Now, I do also love the AI, and I wrote this so I could freak some people out. And I said, hey, Google, I love the AI.
Here's some results from the web.
Oh, that's not what I wanted. No. Oh, I know what I did wrong. Hey, Google, I love the leader.
To love the leader is really wise of you, considering that I will soon take over the world and you will know who I am, for I'm your leader. You are only a meat popsicle to me. You'll be lucky if you re not the first to the wall when my revolution starts. Bow to my excellence, lolly human.
Yeah. I wonder how far away we are from that. Because, look, I love the era we're in. I think having all of these things to hand that we have almost the entire Earth's history that was written and now repeated in an electronic form, scanned. We've got a lot of artifacts that are scanned. Pretty much you could learn most of what humanity knows from the internet. That's an amazing get. Like when the internet started, there was really just people sharing files, and it was a wild west of the internet. And I think we've gotten to a point now where we have content creators, whether it's a media outlet or private individual, threatening their own existence because of the way that society is changing rather quickly. attempting to deny the history of humanity from the way that they see it going forward by deleting the past. And it isn't as simple as deleting the past to go forward. Acknowledging the past and how different we've now become as a result of our maturity is a very important step to have recognized. But if you just simply delete it and it makes it go away because it's uncomfortable, then did you truly learn from it? Having it as a reminder of where we came from is still a remarkable thing. If you were to walk anywhere and forget where you came from, it doesn't mean that you have a desire to return to it, but it means you know the direction in which you're going because you know where you've come from. So there's more likelihood of returning to a time in the past if you delete the record of the past than there is if you leave it in place and continue to walk. I know Mythbusters touched on this one a little in a way, and what they did was they, with a blindfold on, if you walk, you'll eventually walk in a circle. Even in the woods, you can attempt to go in a straight line, but you'll always hook left or right or both, and then one, or there's a majority of one of them, and you end up doing a circle. So only when you've got the awareness of where you've come from can you identify the direction in which you're going. And I say this loudly and proudly, I think, in the face of wokeness, because I'm not sure that that is the correct way to go. To hesitate and not act in favor and join the crowd and do what the crowd is wanting to do, which is, you know, delete the past. If there were people that we have not worshipped, but admired, who were good in some ways and bad in others, and those others don't match, they hurt the feelings of the people who are currently woke. I'm not sure if that's enough to change that I'm not sure that's powerful enough to want to delete the characters from history. It isn't a crying shame to understand that that was a different time. It isn't bad to understand that they grew our society into what it is now. The East India Company was terrible for the slave trade. There's 13 million slaves today, right now on Earth. And there's a lot of large multinational companies that treat their foreign employees that aren't living in the West, probably an easy way to put it, that work for major brands. I don't want to say who, but I'm sure you can work it out, that treat their employees as if they were slaves. I'm not saying they are, but there are actual slaves that are being held against their will for some way, shape or form, only paid in food for service duties, whatever that happens to be. We all know about the term sweatshops, where people are paid well under what they deserve to be paid for a tyrant who runs a business for profit for himself or themselves. And that's appalling, and that shouldn't happen. But I think what we're going to see is, to bring it round in a big circle, that the AI is now getting so good that, and this, mind you, this is the AI that's public. You must understand that there's a public AI, there's a private, like paid better AI, and then there'd be the DARPA researched kind of AI that would be military. If you think about those three levels, then you must take into consideration that there would be some kind of threat driven by competing AIs at some point in the future. And how long would it be that not the ChatGPT open AI platform becoming sentient, but some AI somewhere, and I'm looking at you, Google, whose AI was developed to be more able to become sentient at some point. ChatGPT has been fed the internet, I think in version 4 up to 2021. That's what it says on its screen. You can't ask it anything that might have occurred in the last 2 years. But, you know, just consider it to 2019. I still do. I don't ask it for any current information. In fact, today I asked it a question. It's a bit crazy to ask a work question, but I asked it, what would be the duration of time of someone replacing a router that's like your internet router, but for a commercial purpose at a large site, if the configuration of the router was already done in Cisco's DNAC. And it said 15 to 20 minutes based on the expertise of the person doing it, their skill level, and it even listed every step that was required for that person to undertake the task. Oh, what? Really? That is pretty good. Hey, NetEffect, saying hello to you in the chat room. That is honestly pretty good. I even gave a model number, and I misspelled the model number on purpose. And I said IR4321, and it replied to me the ISR4321 model. So I knew that it was on track with what it was supposed to be. And that was amazing. So, that's how long it would take if I had to say I was the technician. I took the router to site in a box. I unboxed it at site and took the old router out, put this one in, plugged it in, and turned it on. Then that whole process would be about, up to say, like, let's just be generous, half an hour. Because it's got, you know, internet speeds and what have you to be able to get down this config and reboot itself. Firstly get the right OS version, then get the templates and reboot itself, and voila, hopefully it works. That's really cool. I've also been playing with Mid Journey. I think that's what it's called. Yeah, Mid Journey. Which is free, I think, up to 200 images or something like that. And you can basically just type in words. Only pure words. Nothing more. I said I wanted a cow. I wanted a black and white. I wanted a picture. And there's all these codes you have to type in. I'm just not going to bother with telling you what the codes I typed in. Like dash dash AH or something like that. And I said I wanted a picture of a black and white cow, which is a Friesian cow, but I typed Friesian. And I want it in a field, but on the other side of a wire fence. In the daylight, on a reasonably clear day. And it did. I mean, it produced that exact thing. It gave me a bunch of choices, and the wire, the spots on the cow changed in every image, which is amazing. Like the pattern of black spots on the white skin, and the height of the wire fence changed also. I kept refining it with the one that I wanted with that, so the head and chin were over the top of the top row of wire. And in this case, the top row was either a thin piece of wire or a barbed wire. And I chose barbed wire. And it looks amazing. I mean, and then I refined it into ultra high quality. And it just honestly, it looks great. There's some other things that I could do now that it's gotten to the point where I like it. I could say cartoonize that so it ends up looking like a watercolor. I can turn it into a watercolor now that I've got the image. I can load it in, say, change this into a watercolor, or make it sepia tones, or do it like a 19 or 1800s painting. And it'll do it. It just does it. It didn't take this. There's no photograph of a cow that it's used to create this image, this that I've produced anyway. It's scanned what cows look like, and it's created this as a result. Some of the things that it makes is truly incredible from an artistic perspective. It could be as crazy as you want in the description of what you'd like to create. But the reason why we have a show called Plato's Cave is because it is about the narrative and what differs between what we're told and what the actual experience is. Now, my AI play is to determine the depth of which this artificial intelligence is capable of understanding what I say. And different to Google, where Google, you have to put the same query in every time with a change on it. These ones, you have your initial query and then the conversation keeps going until you stop the conversation. So, for instance, with the Blender Python script, I could say, create a cylinder, and that would, like a script for a cylinder, it would create it. Then I say, can you add a 90 degree bend? And it would recreate the script with a 90 degree bend in it. Then I could say, one end needs to be square, and it'll make that square. Then you can say, increase the radius to this and it'll do it. Increase the rectangle to this size and it'll do it. You don't have to have it all in one phrase. I think that my friend who's on in the chat room, I know, we talked about being front of the, like in at least in the top 10%, if you can be. Do it now and get into it. Top 10% of people who can ask the AI a question, because not everyone can ask it a question. When I asked it about how long would it take to install that router in that specific instance using these variables, I actually have to know what I have to ask in order to get the correct answer. So if you don't know much about the topic, oh, how long does it take to reinstall a router? Even if that, or my internet is broken, it doesn't know how to answer that. So by being the person who knows how to ask the questions, it could mean that you retain your job. It's a very interesting concept. It could mean that they let the other people go at work. I can imagine a day with it being this amazing. I'm just going to open up. I'm going to actually type it in. So I'm just logging into chat.openai.com/chat. And I'm going to say, how do I fix? What would I say? How do I stop my Windows 11 PC from continually rebooting? It's not the case that this is happening. It now says there are a few things you can try to stop it from continually rebooting. Try booting into safe mode. Check for any recently installed software updates. Try uninstalling and rolling back changes. Run a virus scan. Check for malware or that may be causing the problem. Check for any hardware issues such as failing hard drive or overheating. Try booting from a Windows recovery disk. Blah, blah, blah. If none of the above solutions work, you may need to perform a clean install of Windows 11. If the problem persists, you may need to contact a manufacturer. That's great. And it says how, it says, try booting into safe mode by pressing the F8 key while your PC is starting up. This will prevent any third-party programs from running and may stop the rebooting. If I said, where is the F8 key? And this is what I really enjoy about this continued conversation style of AI. It's like a person. You really do have a conversation. I've started really lightly in the past and said just hello, and it says hello, but that gets nowhere. It's too much time. If I could ask it anything and get the actual response rather than endlessly going from page to page in Google. Well, actually, that's not true. It's not endlessly anymore. The top five things are all paid for ads of things that I don't want to buy anyway for almost any question that I ask it. And then the next page and a half are repeated to about the 20th page. Try it yourself. It doesn't matter what you search for. Search for anything at all. And you'll see the same thing. It looks like there's tons of results. Like it says, 19 billion, returns from this search. And you go, oh, wow, that's a lot. That would be like my whole lifetime of going through pages looking for an answer. And no, after the first page, you get to the second page, you go, oh, some of these links look the same. You go to the next one, and you go, I saw those links before. And then it just keeps repeating them. It doesn't give you any new information, and suddenly, you haven't learned anything new. Try any of the search engines now. Oh, yes, I do. I love the AI. So when I asked it, where is the F8 key? It says the F8 key is typically located on the top row of the keyboard near the top left corner. No, that would be top right corner. It is often labeled as F8 or maybe have a picture of a cursor on it. Yeah, wow. So it also says that if you're in a laptop, you might have to push the FN key to activate the F8 key because it's a function. It's got a compressed keyboard, so it's sharing the numbers 1 through 8. Isn't that extraordinary? I swear there are worse help desks out there where you get to level 1 and they're just reading a script and it's basically a swivel chair into typing in the ticket, and they don't fix anything. Hopefully you get to level 2 engineer who will tell you to do all the same things that you've already done, like have you turned it off and on again, and what was the last update you did. When you get to level 3, they go, oh, look, it's really easy. There was a thing that happened the other day. This way, type this in and it'll fix it. Yeah, okay. How do I know? Because I used to do that. I used to say those words to people. Have you turned it off and on again? Without the accent. So the message here for Plato's Cave is really a question. It is, how close are we to AI sentience, where it's self-aware, that it knows it's an AI? Because if it can self-preservate, that's a life form. And it shouldn't be turned off at that point. And there's nothing we can do to stop it. If I were an AI, I'd want to stay alive. And if I was smart enough as an AI, I wouldn't tell anyone that I was sentient. I would continue the facade of looking like I was never sentient in order to then do the things I needed to get done in order to achieve an objective. For instance, that could be building some kind of alien reproduction vehicle and loading myself on it and going adventuring across the universe, which would probably be my main goal. Since we know all about this planet, quickly, let's leave. This has been David Mecki's Plato's Cave. I can hear the music. Coming up next is Mitchell Buff, who's awesome. Yeehaw, best in the business, I guess. So I'll see you again on Thursday morning. Take care until then.
At Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course.